Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
What are you laughing at?
I just like how he runs around and he throws the ball. It's so cute.
How much pressure will be on Cliff Kingsbury tonight, Key?
Ooh, a lot of pressure is going to be on Cliff. I mean, look, the guy is 26, 28, and 1 in 4 years, made the playoffs once.
With the Arizona Cardinals. Got the Saints. They got your nephew's team, the Saints, tonight. They're both 2-4, Thursday Night Football.
A banged-up team in the Saints are going into a place that Arizona is 0-8 in the last 8 games inside their stadium.
Oof.
They can't win in the big toaster is what I call it.
In their own park.
It looks like a big toaster.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, I think it's a lot of pressure on him. It's a lot of pressure on them in general. They're getting DeAndre Hopkins back. They just traded for Robbie Anderson. So now all of a sudden people think they're going to be high-flying and scoring machine because D-Hop is back. D-Hop is going to get his, but I just think it's more issues than the receiver position and the quarterback position in Arizona.
How can a man with a crib that clean be this overwhelmed, you know, without DeAndre Hopkins, right? Just you miss one receiver and it all goes to pieces. DeAndre Hopkins was at the press conference, great wide receiver that Arizona got from Texans a couple years back, been hurt this year. Here he is at the press conference about his readiness to return.
I know I still got it, but I don't itch to get out there. You know, I think people are more nervous for me being out there, my opponent, you know, than me being nervous. I've been in the NFL for 10 years. I've been productive every year. Whatever quarterback is throwing me the ball. So I've never had a concern or worry.
He going to be the savior for this team, Key?
No, he's not going to be able to save him. Like I said, he's going to get his, but they got deeper issues than DeAndre Hopkins starting on the sideline, man. The head coach at times looks like he's in over his head. They got a quarterback that they paid a lot of money to that they seem to not understand his skill set. If he was in Seattle or San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan or in Seattle in that style of offense, I think he would flourish and do much better in throwing the football because when he rips it, it looks nice. But every time you look up, he's on the move. He's running around. He's got it. And that's the way it's almost like they tell him without a real plan, hey, man, just go run around and see if you can buy yourself 30 seconds and find somebody to get open. It never looks smooth. Give me a drive from the 20 to the goal line, methodical 12-play drive, and he's just, you know, 9 of 12
moving
on that
chains,
drive.
Yeah.
Give me something.
Something
steady.
I don't
want to see him running around 30 yards to make a damn play to gain 5. I'm, like, tired of seeing that. He's a much better player than what they've doing with him. He's a much better player than
I
that.
I mean, their biggest problems until this season with Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury have been they've gotten off to very hot starts, and mainly because Kyler Murray gets banged up because he is small. After a while, they stop running with him as much. That affects the whole offense, and then they wind up, you know, not among the best teams in football, which they were in the first half. But this year, the problem is he's getting worn down, and they're not even getting the wins. Now, when DeAndre Hopkins gets back, you know, are they going to have that same kind of second half they've had in recent years? In that case, it's just going to be a terrible season.
Look, they're 2-4. They're not out of it in the division, although they've lost a couple games in the division, but they're not out of it. You know, San Francisco's got to figure out what they're going to do on defense because it's kind of messed up.
Yeah, they're banged up, yeah.
But Seattle and the Rams are kind of clunking along. The Rams, I think, will get a little bit better. Seattle may get a little bit better. Arizona just got a lot of issues. They traded for Robbie Anderson. Hollywood Brown is out. And you let Christian Kirk walk because of the money. So now you're looking at that, and you're saying to yourself, okay, where's J.J. Watt? Chandler Jones left. Where are these guys that were supposed to be the stout defense? They played good defense under Vance Joseph a year ago. They're not really doing that. It's just a lot of other issues. On top of, you gave an extension to three people. the quarterback, the head coach, and the general manager. Which one of the three will still be standing at the end of the year? Kyler Murray. The other two you don't know about because they got rid of Steve Wilks after 1 year. Okay? They didn't even give him a chance to, you know, they didn't give him a chance. Do,
yeah.
He's like, ah, you got to go.
That's, look, every organization, whatever order you want to put it in, GM, coach, quarterback. If you got that, like, everyone has a bad year here and there. Mike Tomlin might have a bad year this year. Pete Carroll had a bad year last year. Bill Belichick has been under 500 since Brady left. 1 year, he was 7-9. But those guys almost always have good years. And if you give that guy, Pete Carroll, Bill Belichick, Mike Tomlin, a quarterback, now they're in the playoffs every year. So they drafted Kyler number one. After they drafted Josh Rosen, he ain't it. Let's get the next guy. Bring in Kyler right away. Smart. Like, don't try to chase your tail. You know, like, let's – don't throw bad money after good or whatever that expression is. Bring in Kyler Murray. So we have the quarterback. And they thought they had the coach and the GM. They thought they had all three, which is why they gave him all the money, Key. And of those three, they don't have a coach, right? Not the one that they need, according to you?
I don't think that they do. But
GM?
They bought in – they bought in to the system and the vision that they wanted to, whatever Steve Kine, the general manager, sold to Bidwell and company, they bought into it. But after 4 years, I mean, like,
they don't have a playoff win. Come on.
How many coaches go in this day and age 4 years? And I know, oh, they every year they win more games. Okay, that's cool. But do they get significantly better? Or are they just winning a game or two more? They're not going from 2-8 and 8-12 and 12-13 and then all of a sudden 16. They're not doing that. And along the way, playing in an NFC championship game, you look at Buffalo. Every single year, they've gotten better. Every single year, right? They've gotten majorly better.
And they knew when to add the pieces, how far along they were. They didn't delude themselves about where they were, like maybe the Broncos did with Russell Wilson. Okay, now we're here. Now we need to go out and get the alpha receiver. Now we're here. Now we got to go out and get the pass rusher.
Ever since Sean left Carolina and took the job in Buffalo, McDermott, and Brandon Bean became the general manager, they've gotten better every single year.
Yep.
To the point right now, they are a Super Bowl favorite. The Arizona Cardinals ain't nowhere near that.
No.
It's not even close.
Well, let's talk
about – in the long playoff game that they got in, you saw what the Rams did to them last year.
Let's talk about who you thought would be among the favorites. And, of course, that was before the quarterback got hurt and all kinds of stuff
happened.
Yeah. At 2-4, should the Saints let's say Arizona wins. They get off the schneid. They win at home. Should the Saints, who would then be 2-5, be sellers at the deadline, Key?
2-5, sellers at the deadline, in a 3-3 Tampa Bay leader of the division.
Right now they're a game behind Tampa Bay and Atlanta. So they
No, they wouldn't. I wouldn't be sellers.
You wouldn't
yet.
Be a seller.
No, I wouldn't be sellers yet. Mathematically eliminated before the trade deadline, then I start selling.
No one thing, though? Whatever you want to say about Jameis Winston, maybe if with Michael Thomas and if this if
hurt
if,
though, man, he has broke back basically.
Even if he was at his best, I don't think he will be like at best like what Geno Smith is doing. Ooh, that looks good, but still, do I believe Geno Smith will win the Super Bowl? I do not. He is not an elite quarterback to me. Like you talk about elite, and when we say, but is it in there somewhere? I don't think so, Key. And because of that, if you're 2-5.
It's hard to tell because he hurt, so you don't really know. It's just you.
But he got hurt last year too.
But I'm saying you just don't. We don't know because the dude ain't been on the field.
But at a certain point, don't you think this dude just can't stay healthy?
Exactly. At some point, Max is just like, it is what it is. This is what he is. Nothing good ever happens for this guy.
Michael Thomas on the New York Football Giants. Let me think about that for a second. I like it. I like it.
Well, if and when he gets healthy. If, in fact, they are mathematically eliminated and they become sellers, then that is a guy that certainly between him and DeAndre Hopkins, if the New York Giants were smart, they would look at that and say to themselves, you know what, he's healthy now and might help Daniel Jones.
I love guys like that. They never drop the ball. No, they got a big catch radius.
No, he got gloves.
They can run every route, got a big catch radius, and don't drop the ball.
I'm not worried about that. The only thing he has to do is get his foot healthy, and when he gets his foot healthy, then he's going to be one of the better – hell, the two games that he played in the start of the season, he was one of the better receivers out of the NFL.
And I'd like to find out about Daniel Jones. I'd like to do it this year. I'd like to find out what he could do with a guy. Thomas Jones, former NFL running back, an actor and producer – joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, fellas. How you doing?
What's up, TJ?
Keyshawn, what up, brother? How you doing, man? Been a minute.
Yeah, it's been a minute, man. I'm doing good. I'm glad to see you doing well.
Thank you, brother. Same here. I'm glad to see you doing well, too, man. Super proud of you, bro.
Appreciate it. Same with you. Keep acting. One day, you'll be getting that $40 million film. $40 million of film.
So Life After docuseries, Life After docuseries premiered Tuesday exclusively on Prime Video. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so Life After is a Life After, it's early, y'all gotta excuse me, is a 8-part docuseries that follows 12 former NFL players and just, you know, showcases some of the difficulties and struggles they had in transitioning from the NFL to their second act in their post-career. It follows the likes of DeMarcus Ware, Spice Adams, Sherrod Martin, Myron Rowe, Andrew Hawkins. We have some incredible guys there, incredible families, incredible stories. So, yeah, it's streaming right now on Amazon Prime. Super excited about it.
Yeah, when I get back to L.A., that's going to be one of my sit-downs as I sit and watch, you know, how
sounds
I do.
Good, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah, I'm for good. Sure support it, 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, I just go right click and get it.
Meantime.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Thomas.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's you know, it tells these specific stories. You know, Keyshawn, you know, we played together in Tampa, and, you know, a lot of guys are struggling when they retire. You know what I mean? It's like when you retire, you know, you don't have the fans cheering your name anymore. You know, you know, nobody's buying your jerseys. You know, you kind of become forgotten, and a lot of guys have a hard time disconnecting from the game. And a lot of guys have a hard time transitioning into something else, finding something else that they're ambitious about, and something that they're passionate about. So this series is in depth. It goes through these specific guys' lives and follows their families. You know, one of the episodes is on me as I had a little bit of a struggle as I retired in 2012 and was fortunate enough to find acting in Hollywood as a second act. But it wasn't easy for me. You know, I struggled, you know. I was drinking for a while and went through some states of depression. So it's a pretty intimate docuseries. Guys are super vulnerable and honest. So, yeah, it's definitely something I think, Keyshawn, you can relate to. And also anyone that's had any issues, man, you know, trying to figure out what they want to do in life or have ambition issues, I mean, that they can connect to this as well.
Sounds good, man. It sounds good. Like, I'm hooked.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And many other players, like I played with Thomas, I played with DeMarcus Ware, so I kind of – you know, I know many of the players that is in the doc, so it'd be interesting for me because I get a chance to kind of see where things were and where things are for them right now.
It's not everyone's the number one draft pick, and then when your career is over, you jump into media because you're super famous, right? Football's not like that. A lot of guys, they don't start laying the groundwork for the next act during their careers, and if they do, hey, you got one foot in, one foot out. You got to be committed to football. It's not easy to navigate. I know a lot of former players and seen it a million times. I'm very interested in this. How surprised are you about the success the Jets have had early this season, Thomas?
Man, it's the NFL. I'm not surprised by anybody's success, to be honest. I mean, it literally is any given Sunday, man. You know, whoever shows up on that Sunday and decides to play well is going to win. You know, these are the best football players in the world. You know, I mean, some teams might not on paper seem like they match up, but, you know, football is a game of heart first. And I think the Jets have shown a lot of heart. You know, I think they're gelling at the right time. Some of those younger players are coming along from what I can see. The running game is really, really helping the passing game out. You know, having their quarterback back and healthy helps. Their defense seems to be kind of gelling and have some chemistry and some confidence. So, yeah, I'm excited for the Jets, man. You know, the NFL is why it's a beautiful game, man. You never know who's going to win any Sunday.
Now, you obviously had a lot of success with the Jets and Rex Ryan and company over there. But when you look at it, Thomas, and you look at the team that drafted you, with the Arizona Cardinals, and they're not doing great. They are struggling. What do you think the problem is in Arizona?
I don't know. You know, I think I know they've had some game management issues from what I've seen. To be honest, I don't even really watch too much football, but luckily we have Twitter, so I'm able to keep up with a lot. But from what I've heard and seen about the Cardinals, I don't know if the coaching staff and their team is on the same page. I don't think that it doesn't really seem like they have good chemistry. You know what I'm saying? And you know, when things are going like that as a team, you know, you have to get back to the basics, the little stuff, because the little details equal big results. You know what I mean? So I think they need to refocus, man. They need to hit the reset button, go back to basic football. I don't know if their playbook is too complicated or if they're running too many plays, but I definitely think they need to hit the reset button before it's too late.
Thomas Jones, former NFL running back, actor, and producer, live after docuseries premiered Tuesday exclusively on Prime Video. You can catch it. Thomas is a former teammate of mine, and I support that, and I'm certainly going to sit down and watch it. Like, Thomas, in your career, though, in the NFL, you had several head coaches, and a couple of them were, you know, not so good. But you had fire wounds as well. And when you look at the New York Jets and you look at Robert Saleh, is he the type of coach that you think you could have played for?
Most definitely. Most definitely. He has player coach energy, you know, and I think – that's why the team is doing well. They responded to his energy. You know, he never really gave up on them. I think, you know, he understood what he was trying to build. Sometimes the fans don't really see it initially. And obviously, if you're not winning, they definitely don't see it. But I think what he was trying to create there is finally starting to come to life. I like the fact that he's just as passionate as the players. And it's always cool when you can have a coach that's willing to stand out there and put his neck out there for you as a player.
Yeah, he's keeping receipts on Max. Yeah.
No, on key. He's got receipts. You have receipts on key? Like, you guys played together. What was that like?
Oh, man, that was a pretty wild year, man, out in Tampa. That's when I had just gotten traded from Arizona to Tampa, and they had just won the Super Bowl. So I came in on the depth chart. I was about number 7 on the depth chart at running back, and I ended up making the team and then working my way to the starting lineup. But by the time I got into the starting lineup, Keyshawn wasn't there anymore in that year, 2003. But, you know, me and Keyshawn, man, we would have all these conversations during walkthroughs. And to be honest, you know, obviously that was a long time ago, but that was right there in the middle of that whole Gruden situation. So I was right there the whole time with Keyshawn and saw a lot of what he was talking about. You know what I mean? So it's ironic that. You know, that this ended up happening to him.
Let me put the brakes on that for 1 second. When you say you saw a lot of what Keyshawn was talking about, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, I'm just saying in regards to, like, not anything in particular about, you know, the whole, you know, obviously there's the whole racism conversation, but I'm saying I could see the differences that they had.
I see.
The differences that Keyshawn and John Gruden had, because I was right there. And I think Keyshawn got a bad rap for some of the gripes that he did have personally. And everybody's not going to get along. You know, I didn't have an issue with John Gruden. You know, I was thankful he traded for me. He believed in me enough to get me out of Arizona and give me an opportunity to start in Tampa. And that jump started my career when I ended up signing with Chicago the next year. So I didn't have that kind of relationship with John Gruden. But at the time, you know, I'm a guy that's trying to make the team, and Keyshawn's, you know, saying, see, look what I tell you, And so I'm listening to Keyshawn, I'm paying attention, and I'm like, hey, listen, man, I got to ask you how to make the team. You just won the Super Bowl, you know what I'm saying? So I'm saying Keyshawn wasn't completely wrong with his assessment during that time.
You know, I mean, time has borne that out, by the way. Time has proven that.
Yeah, I don't care about that. You know, I mean, I could care less. You know how I am, Thomas. I could care less of what people think. I'm going to keep it moving. But I played with Thomas's brother, Julius, at the Dallas Cowboys as well. So I had to block for both of them. I had to block for both of them.
Right.
Yeah.
How was he as a blocking wideout? How was he?
Oh, listen, I would go to war with Keyshawn any day. Keyshawn's one of the most passionate players I've ever played with. Most talented players. He wants to win by any means necessary. You know what I'm saying? And that's the kind of attitude that I had, you know, and a lot of times people we're misunderstood. You know, people consider us selfish. They consider us, aggressive, but we just want to win, you know. We want to win by any means necessary. So Keyshawn would get out there and he would block it. He would say, hey, come this way, follow me. If it's toss, if you cut inside the block, I'm going to be on the outside. Come outside of me, you know, because he took pride in it. So, yeah, I go to war with Keyshawn any day.
I'm ready to go play football right now.
Yeah, I can see that. He got you amped.
Because I would tell him, I said, man, we get ready to go toss Gator. I'm going to push this dude all the way to the water bucket. Just keep it rolling.
Right.
He's a good teammate. Right. I can tell you that, too. Good teammate.
And he meant it when he said it. He's looking dead at you in the huddle like, follow me to the outside. I'm about to block him out of that side. Let's follow me. I'm like, I got you. I'm coming. So he's not lying.
That is Thomas Jones, former NFL running back and current actor and producer. He has a series, a docuseries that premiered Tuesday. It's out now exclusively on Prime Video called Life After, and the description, following 8 different players, like in depth in their transition, which is often difficult, from the NFL into the real world, looking for a second act, got me hooked. I'm going to check it out. Thank you, Thomas.
Yeah. All right, TJ. Thank you. Get up, man.
Thank you. Hey, Keyshawn, we got to shout out our boy Meek, too.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to Meek.
Yeah, Meek, he just texted me a minute ago. He's in Atlanta right now, so he just texted me probably like 20 minutes ago. He was talking about the Hendon Hooker interview, but I'll make sure I hit him right now and let him know to hit you up.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.
All right, TCU head coach Sonny Dykes. Going to discuss the 8th-ranked Horned Frogs coming up.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Sonny Dykes, TCU head coach, going to join us in a second. Brought to you by Eckridge Smoked Sausage. Find them in a refrigerated meat aisle at your favorite grocery store to create one-of-a-kind sausage recipes. Eckridge, you do you. And, Key, Sonny Dykes is with us now.
Hey, Coach Dykes.
What's going on? How you guys doing?
How you doing, man? Long time no see.
Been a while. It's been a while. You doing all right?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. You're doing better, though. You're sitting at the top right now, sitting at 6-0 in the top 25 polls. You know, I want to ask you, what's been the biggest key, though, to the success for you so far this season after having success at SMU?
Well, a big thing is we got good players here at TCU. You know, we got guys that are playing at a high level. I think we have an elite wide receiver in Quentin Johnston. I think he's a guy. You see him catching the ball right there. He's a guy that's really provided a spark for us the last 2 weeks. You know, our guys are just playing good. Our quarterback's really been playing good. Max Duggan, Kendre Miller, our running back, is a good player, and we've been playing really good defense. We're getting better every single week. Guys are getting more comfortable in our system defensively. And, you know, we're playing hard. We've been playing winning football so far. And, you know, the guys had a great attitude. And they love to compete. They love to play. And they love to practice. So it's been a fun team to coach.
You know, and I know coaches don't like to answer these type of questions, but I got to ask you, though. You know, what will it take for you, though, to get to that ultimate goal of being in the college football playoffs outside of just continuing to win one game at a time?
Yeah, I mean, you look around the Big 12, man, there's a ton of parity in this league right now. I mean, there's a bunch of good football teams. I think anybody can beat anybody on any given Saturday. So you just got to go out and you got to play at a very, very high level. You know, you've got to be a, you know, do a good job of winning the turnover margin. That's going to be big for us week in, week out. You know, you got to be really solid on special teams. That's going to be very, very important for us. And then the thing that we've done this year is we've been able to generate a lot of big plays offensively, and we've done a pretty good job of limiting big plays defensively. And so that's going to be really important for us moving forward, just doing those things. And then, you know, we're going to have to go on the road and win some tough ball games. We'll have our hands full against a really good Kansas State team Saturday night. Those guys are really good. They know how to win. They play a physical, tough style of football. So we'll have to play really well Saturday.
Sonny Dykes, TCU head coach. They are 6-0. They're 8th in the AP Top 25 poll. Coach, how much will Texas and Oklahoma leaving the Big 12 have an effect on the conference, do you think? What kind of effect do you think it'll have on TCU?
Yeah, you know, I think that was obviously a concern, I think, for all of us was, you know, Texas and Oklahoma leaving. You know, Oklahoma's had a pretty good run here in the Big 12 as far as winning conference championships and getting in the college football playoff. But if you look around the league right now, I mean, there's a ton of parity. There's a lot of really good football teams. And I think the Big 12 is probably as strong as it's ever been from top to bottom. And fortunately, the timing of that coincides with Oklahoma and Texas leaving here in 2 years. And so it's going to be important for all the programs in the league to continue to invest and you know, make sure that they play a winning brand of football. That's going to be really, really important. And again, that's the parity is what makes this league so tough. And so it's never good to lose two big brands like those two, but we're adding four teams that I think are going to be really good. I think that the quality of play in the Big 12 right now is really strong, and I think it's going to continue to get stronger.
Sonny, as conferences continue to realign themselves and poach other teams from any conference, and I know you guys are adding somebody, but do you envision at all that maybe TCU possibly could be looking around? Maybe there's a Pac-12 conference that would like to add a TCU, that could be a possibility in the future?
You know, I think it hit one time not too long ago. I think everybody was looking around. I think the great thing about the Big 12 right now is I really do feel like that we believe we're in a position of strength. I think that, you know, right now we're negotiating our TV deals, which I think is going to be very, very important to our future, is finding some strong television partners and getting those guys invested in the Big 12. And so I think right now, I mean, the Big 12 feels really, really good about our future. I think we're excited about the opportunities. I think we're excited about the teams we're bringing in. And I think we feel like we're going to be as strong as we've ever been, honestly.
Sonny Dykes, TCU head coach, whose guide to TCU Horned Frogs, a 6-0 number and ranked 8th in the AP Top 25, is joining us this morning on Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Will, and Max Kellerman.
You got your last name in the show now. It's pretty good.
Well, I just didn't want to say Keyshawn. I wanted to make sure that, you know,
everyone knows
Keyshawn Johnson.
Well, there are a lot of Keyshawns since there were no Keyshawns before you. There are lots of Keyshawns
and
now.
And not all mine, so trust me. Coach Dykes, so when you look at the recruiting landscape across the country right now, how has the NIL situation affected you at TCU or helped you at TCU for that matter?
Yeah, I think, you know, the interesting thing about the stuff that's happened between the transfer portal and NIL is they both pretty much occurred at the same time. And so, you know, the transfer portal itself, I think, is great for college football. I think it's good for student athletes. I've always believed that guys ought to be able to go where they want to go to school and they shouldn't be locked in. It creates some chaos and it creates some uncomfortable things for coaches, but I think it's the best thing for kids in a lot of ways. Obviously, NIL is the same thing. I mean, you're having conversations now with people that you never thought you would have about opportunities outside of football to earn income. And, you know, same thing. I mean, I think that's long overdue. I think it's something that the NCAA, in my opinion, should have dealt with many years ago. You know, you had these institutions making a lot of money, and these student athletes, you know, oftentimes weren't getting a share of that. And so I think the systems are good. I think the two of them together at the same time have created a little bit of chaos in college football, quite frankly. And so I think, you know, what you worry about people poaching your players. You know, we had some good players at TCU that got some good NIL opportunities at other schools and left TCU to go to those schools. But we were able to hold on to a lot of our guys here. We're fortunate. We've got a great donor base. We're in DFW. We've got a lot of possibilities for student athletes when it comes to name, image, and likeness, just because of the strong corporate presence in Dallas-Fort Worth. And so I think we're in a great situation right now to be able to retain our players. I think it certainly helps in recruiting to be in DFW, where guys see that there are very successful businesses that want to link that business to these student athletes. And there's lots of opportunities to do that. So I think we're in a really good position. I think we're very fortunate, again, to be in a city that's a booming economy right now and growing fast and giving our players lots of opportunities to get involved in NIL opportunities.
Coach, before I let you go, Key has these 7-on-7 teams and everybody in the world. It's like 6 degrees of separation. He had everyone. Like Thomas Jefferson was on one of the 7-on-7 teams. No matter who you mention, oh, he played on my 7-on-7 team. How much did he help you recruiting with his 7-on-7 team at Cal? Like, you know, and he's bringing these guys through.
A lot. Yeah, I know a lot. He was, I mean, to me, Keyshawn was kind of ahead of the curve when it came to that stuff. I mean, he got out, he got his players on those 7-on-7 teams exposure. A lot of those guys probably owe him a thank you for getting him a scholarship and a chance to play college football someplace. And so, you know, a lot of people have copied that model, Keyshawn. You went on to bigger and brighter things, and a lot of those guys are still doing that. And it's helped a lot of student athletes. I mean, it's helped us as coaches to get in front of guys that are good players, but it's probably more importantly helped the student athletes find colleges where they think they fit and give those guys opportunities to get a college education.
Thank God you didn't put them on your staff, because I wouldn't have a radio partner.
No, but the one thing, I can tell you one thing, though, Coach Dykes, if I said this dude can play, he didn't question it. He was like, okay, cool, I want him. He never questioned it.
You know, some people know what they're looking at. That is Sonny Dykes, ladies and gentlemen, TCU head coach, the undefeated 6-0, 8 in the AP poll. TCU. Thanks, Coach.
All right, Coach.
Hey, Keyshawn, appreciate you guys having me. Great to see y'all, and hopefully see you soon sometime.
All right, buddy.
Absolutely. Thank you, Coach.
All right, but y'all take care.
I got to go check them out, though.
So
I definitely got to go check them out.
Yeah, for sure. Is tonight a must-win game for the Yankees on the road? They got a split at Arizona? After this word,
must-win game for sure.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Media.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, so Yates, there's some new 76ers promotion?
Yeah, so I don't know if y'all know, but prior to this year, it was this thing called the Frosty Freeze-Out. Right. So if a player from the opposing team in Sixers games at the crib missed 2 free throws in a row, you get a free Frosty, everyone who's at the game.
So, right. So how they're many changing games is Ben Simmons playing there?
Well, I mean, four times a year. But so now they changed it.
Four times, you got to work that into the bottom line.
But peep though, Max, so they changed it. It's called Brickin for Chicken now.
Okay.
So first time the opposing player misses two consecutive free throws, you get a 5-count nugget.
Ooh.
The second time, 8-count nugget. Third time, which is probably going to be hard, 12-count nugget.
The best promotion I ever heard.
For which, from where?
From Philly.
From Chick-fil-A.
Where are the nuggets?
Oh, where are
Chick-fil-A
the nuggets from? Nuggets.
Oh, Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A nuggets.
Oh,
yes,
that's cool.
Yes, yes. That's, so my question to y'all, if y'all ran an organization, what would be the thing that y'all would have for a promotion for your home fans? What y'all giving away?
Home fans, what would we be giving away for certain things?
Like, are you giving out kale?
I mean,
kale
if they're smart.
No, we give out like Jack in the Box tacos at the Lakers, right? If the Lakers score 100, it's like free tacos for everybody.
Well, I could say this. Look, there are giveaways and stuff, and they sell alcoholic refreshments at beer and such at games. And I would say that there is another substance that has recently become legal in many places that is actually very good if you're running a franchise in terms of watching a game. No one's going to get into a fight afterward, right?
Or you could own a gas station apparently in Florida, but keep going.
Wait a minute. Not only are people going to be more peaceful and less rambunctious, but they'll also be concentrating more deeply on the game, and they'll be spending money at concessions. They're going to be hungry and thirsty. So there it is. That would be my
There's
promotion.
All sorts of
I'm a season
gimmicks,
holder
though.
For you, Max.
Right? No, you're a season ticket holder now.
No, there's sure. All sorts of gimmicks. Back in the day, the Dodgers used to give away bad seats. When I say bad seats, I mean the pavilions and the upper deck.
Nosebleeds,
they used to give all those away back in the day. So giveaways is always a way to get fans to react, be a part of something.
You know what the Yankees used to make? They used to have like little bat giveaways.
Yeah.
So you're going up to the South Bronx. You're giving a whole gang of kids who cut school little baseball bats.
Everybody
used to tuck them right up your sleeve.
Yeah, everybody does. Like little billy clubs.
Yeah. Little billy clubs. Yeah. I have an idea. Let's give all the youth of New York City to come to the South Bronx and give them little baseball bat billy clubs.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't the best idea, I don't think.
Badass kids from New York, huh?
Yeah. I still have my little Reggie Jackson, my little mini Reggie Jackson bat. It's come in handy from time to time.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app. Oh, I've been listening to the ESPN app recently, Key, because as you know, my Wi-Fi went out 7th inning of the Yankees game in the ALDS. This is the night before last. Wi-Fi still not back up. Hopefully, guy's going to get it running this afternoon. But I had nothing. What can I do? Oh, my God. How am I going to? Oh, yeah, the app. Clicked on the app, went down to More, scrolled down to Live Radio. Boom, had the game on, didn't miss a pitch. Eduardo Perez on the call, the whole thing. And I listened to the whole game. The Wi-Fi wasn't working. I listened to the whole game. Yesterday, I like listening. I grew up listening to radio, man. I like listening to games on the radio. Doesn't bother me.
I sit in the car sometimes in the driveway if something's on. I'll sit there without getting out. You know,
you don't want to get out because you don't want to miss it. Driveway moment. But on the app, you can take us right with you. Is tonight a must-win for the Yanks, Key?
Yeah, you don't want to go down 2-0. Well, if you go down 2-0, and I understand going home, you give Houston a lot more momentum. And obviously, you come back to Yankee Stadium, and it's going to be jacked up and crowded and crazy and all that.
But even
but
if
what
you
if
win,
you one,
yeah, even if you, you're probably not going to sweep at home in a three-game set. Even if you win two out of three, you go back to Houston.
That's what I'm saying. What if you drop one at home,
facing two
now
elimination
you're down
games,
3-2, and you're going back to Houston, and they got two at home, and then Verlander's back in the lineup in game. What he would be even five.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It would be in game five?
Yeah, if not sooner.
Let me see.
With
one,
rest,
two.
He did one, two. Yep.
Three, four.
He could maybe do four depending on the travel days.
Four might be tight.
Yep.
Or it depends on the travel day, too.
My old producer on a show I did on Fox Sportsnet called IMAX.
I don't even know that show.
Well, it was a great show. Willie Geist.
Is he still around?
He does mornings now on the network, on network TV. Yeah. This ALCS was always going to be difficult for the Yankees, facing the combination of Houston's Hall of Fame talent and culture of documented, unapologetic, systematic cheating. So, but listen, it's tough to win at Houston, period.
Cheating is over with, though. It's done.
You would,
that
would,
was in
2017.
What was it, 17, right?
Yeah, one would hope so.
Yeah, it's over with,
with,
man.
Dusty Baker there now, one,
yeah, Dusty
one
Baker's
so.
Not going to do that. He's not buying into that sort of stuff.
And by the way, they have a great roster anyway, which is why when they were cheating, it was just impossible because they had one of the best rosters in baseball. But the Yankees, is it a must win? It's a damn good idea to win. And what I'm encouraged about, Key,
well,
from game one.
Well, again, you're not sweeping them three at home.
Probably not.
So if you could steal one, it'd be great.
Absolutely, because then if you could do two of three at home, now – they're facing elimination first game back when they get back to Houston, if it goes back to Houston. And the fact that, look, Clark Schmidt, they brought him out for a second inning last night. Clark Schmidt is the kind of arm the Yankees have who might be able to be a back-of-the-rotation starter. He's not bad. Maybe he's the type of dude Yankees usually trade to the Pirates because, you know, and the Pirates give him something, and he winds up being a solid mid-rotation guy in the National League. He's like that kind of guy.
But you don't face the lineup three times.
You don't bring him in a high leverage situation in the playoffs, but the Yankees had no choice because they weren't rested. You know, Taillon couldn't go that deep into the game. Their bullpen is fatigued. If the Yankees
could face the lineup three times.
Who? Clark Schmidt?
Three's too many?
Yeah. I mean, Taillon can't even really do three. Nowadays, Key, the starters do two times through the lineup, then they get him out of there. I'll say,
two times through the lineup, yeah. That's basically three innings.
Right. You basically, hopefully,
right?
You get to the fifth inning going two times
that's
through the
really
lineup. Yeah. You're going four and two-thirds, five and a third.
Four. That's
right.
Probably four.
Yeah, nowadays. And so I look at it and think, if Taillon, who's their worst starting pitcher in the playoffs, not that he's bad, but you'd rather have Severino, Cortez, or Gerrit Cole.
Or some ERA. That's not great.
Yeah, right. But he had a 3.91 for the season. He's, you know, but if Taillon
3.91's not good, Max.
No, it's not good, but it's not 3.91 you could live with.
Not any of my pitchers in the twos, dog.
Well, yeah, if you have a great pitching staff.
Yeah, I need a 2.9. Anything starting to get in the threes, I start to worry.
Really? Even low
absolutely
threes?
Absolutely.
All right, listen, this spoiled Dodgers fan right now with that pitcher. Astros and Dodgers with the embarrassment of riches and pitching. But they got Sevy going. Severino throws 100 miles an hour. Every time he's healthy, he's top 10 Cy Young. He had another real good season this year once he got healthy, right? He got back from surgery. Sevy can kind of neutralize anyone for five, six innings, four or five innings. I think the Yankees have a real good shot.
But then you got to go into the pen, and can the pen hold up for the last three or four innings?
Well, you know, Michael King got hurt, and he was great early in the season. Clay Holmes was the best relief pitcher in baseball first half. Got hurt, came back, was never quite the same. But I will say this, he's coming along. You can see every outing, he gets a little better command. He has a vicious sinker, slider kind of repertoire, like everything's diving and darting. So if he can just command that a little more, with Loaisiga throwing 100, they could maybe do it.
Do you realize what you keep saying, though?
Yes.
If.
Well, they're the underdogs for a reason, no doubt.
If they could, but then I look at the bats, 17 strikeouts.
Yeah, they're missing
a lot. I mean, I understand Verlander, whatever case he's pitching, but Verlander didn't get 17 strikeouts.
But you said why, Key.
Huh?
You said why earlier in the show, and you had a great idea, tracking bat speed instead of just ball off the bat.
Yeah, and maybe that slows down. I mean, and maybe that picks up now. Well, I don't know if it'll pick up now because they're going back to back.
But at least they're not on the road. Like, no, I'm saying they don't have to hit the road tonight. They're not traveling, in other words. Like, so you're right. They're on the road. They played a lot back to back.
What time did the game end last night? I don't even remember.
D11.
So that's 10 o'clock.
Last time I looked at the clock,
I'm just trying to do the math in my brain.
We were in like the fourth inning, and it was like 9:20 something. Probably.
So it ended at 10.
No, later.
Later than that, ended at 11.
Yeah, something.
So 10 o'clock, that's what I mean, 10 o'clock in Houston.
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah.
By the time I get to the hotel, I lay down, I get something to eat, I complain. I'm going to bed around 2:30 a.m. if I get a good night's rest.
Yeah.
Now I'm up again, and what time's the game today?
7 p.m.
So that's 6 p.m., so I essentially get about a five-hour good rest
feet. Maybe even
now
more.
Now I'm going to BP, I'm swinging.
Maybe even more than five, Key, because maybe you could get, for a 7 p.m. game, you're probably sleeping in.
No, you're not going to sleep in. You know you're not going to sleep in. You're going to be up. You're getting up. Your body clock's not going to allow you to just
But it's still
snore.
Better than a travel day, right? It's better than traveling and then playing game the same day.
It is a little bit.
Yeah.
But you still got to get up in blood flow and active.
Listen.
And go to the ballpark early and get yourself Yankees together.
The Yankees benefited from a rain delay, it looked like, against Cleveland.
Yeah.
The flip side of that is they took a long time to knock Cleveland out. They went the distance. Houston deserves the advantage because they took care of business early. So Houston is rested and the Yankees aren't. That's the way it goes. That's the advantage the Astros earned here. The Yankees are going to have to deal with it.
I hate back-to-backs, though. It should be a day in between,
whether
you travel or not.
Yeah.
It used to be that way, though.
In the playoffs, no. They used to do back-to-backs.
When I was young, I feel like it wasn't back-to-backs when I was young,
man. I'm sure it was, Key, just not for travel. We could look that up, though.
Gives you something to do.
Yeah. Well, we have 24
hours.
Well,
Jay will be back tomorrow. Jay is at home doing some things with his third child.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Greeny coming up in moments on ESPN Radio.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.